It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. It's one of those iconic Pittsburgh sports moments, and it happened on June 18th, 1941. Boxer Billy Kahn, known as the Pittsburgh Kid and the light heavyweight champion, fought the great Joe Louis for the World Heavyweight Championship at the Polo Grounds in New York. Despite being outweighed by some 30 pounds, Kahn gave Louis all he could handle and was ahead on the judges' cards going to the later rounds on that night. Everything in Pittsburgh seemingly came to a halt as people listened to the radio broadcast. This year marks the 75th anniversary of that historic night, and I'm joined now in studio by Billy Kahn's son, Tim. Tim Kahn, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. It's nice to be on the show.
You can join our conversation with a comment or question at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Tim Kahn, you were not yet born when your father fought this famous fight, and I'm guessing that you've spent your entire life to this point talking about it.
Well, that's true. That was the big fight of his life, and you're right. I have spent most of my life investigating or hearing about this fight from practically everybody.
What have you investigated?
Well, I went back, looked at the film, read a lot of articles on the fight, that exact fight, and God, I must have seen the fight, I don't know, hundreds of times. And I was recently able to get the radio broadcast of that fight, which is really difficult, but somebody had it. And I think it was Don Dunphy's first radio broadcast of a boxing match, and he went on for 40 years. And he says, what could have been a better introduction for a fight when I, as an announcer,
right.
That one. It was the best one I've ever broadcast.
Right. Everyone after that probably had to be a disappointment to him. Don Dunphy, yeah. One of the great legendary boxing announcers of all time. What makes this sports event 75 years ago such an important and memorable chapter in the history of Pittsburgh, as much as the Immaculate Reception is, for example?
Well, he was the light heavyweight champion of the world, and he won that title a couple years before, and he actually fought through five different weight divisions. Most people don't know that, but he's more remembered for the Louis fight, and he wanted to bring the heavyweight title to Pittsburgh, and I don't think there had been a heavyweight champion from Pittsburgh, and he was an underdog, but not that much of an underdog. He was outweighed by 30 pounds, which was really rough. He actually came in at 169 pounds. They announced it at 174. But it was big for Pittsburgh because in those days, it was mainly baseball and boxing. The Steelers, they weren't a big deal. Boxing was
They weren't very good.
No. Boxing was a big sport then. Out of the eight divisions, five champions, there were only eight sanctioning bodies then, were from Western Pennsylvania. And
Fritzy Zivic was the welterweight.
I think Billy Seuss was the middleweight. Pittsburgh Jackie Wilson was the featherweight, and father was the light heavyweight. And Sammy Angott from Little Washington, PA, was the I think he might have been the welterweight. So five of them out of eight were from Pittsburgh. So it was a big sport in those days.
Tell us about your dad. He grew up on the hard scrabble streets of East Liberty. What kind of a kid was he, and how did he get into boxing?
It was the height of the Depression. Everybody was broke, it seemed like. His father took him to the steel mills when he was only 13 and said, this is where you're going to spend the rest of your life, working in the mill. He said that scared him so much when he saw this mill. He said, there must be a better way to make a living.
Scared him more than Joe Louis.
More than anything. And he says, and he went in and asked. No, I think his father took him to the local gym in East Liberty, and he said, could you give him a tryout? He doesn't want to work in the mill. I don't think he was too good a student. He wasn't going on to high school. So he actually spent maybe three years in the gym just learning how to box. And in those days, Pittsburgh was such a great fight town. His manager said to him, don't become an amateur. He was never an amateur. He said, you can't learn anything from an amateur. They don't know any more than you do.
Don't do golden gloves.
No, don't do any of that. You'll learn from a pro. And there were great pros that would come to the Pittsburgh Lyceum, and they won't hurt you. But you can learn from them because they're pros. And an amateur doesn't know any more than you do. Plus, you won't be paid. So he took him on the road after, I think, 3 or 4 years. He was 16 years old and took him down to Fairmont, West Virginia. He fought an older kid, maybe 21. The purse, he lost. And the purse was $2.50. I think he got 50 cents. And he asked his manager, Johnny Ray, where's the rest of the money? And he said, well, you ate, didn't you? Plus you lost.
Oh, wow. Wow. So how did the fight with Joe Louis come about in 1941?
He had won the, as I said, the light heavyweight mm-hmm. championship. And they were Louis was on some type of a bum of the month club, they called it. He was fighting fighters every month, and he had beaten them all. But my father was a fast boxer. He had a good defense, and he felt, and a lot of the sports writers did too, even though he was outweighed by quite a bit, he had a good chance to beat Louis. And Mike Jacobs was the promoter of the day. Well, he was sort of the Don King of the day. He was the big promoter from New York. And he said, Billy Conn is an attractive fighter. He's fast. He's beaten everybody in all the weight divisions so far. And the public wanted that fight. And then the publicity built it all up, and there were actually 55,000 people at the Polo Grounds to see that fight. And there was a big contingent of Pittsburghers that came from Pittsburgh to watch it.
And the Polo Grounds at that time was the home of the Giants.
The New York Giants, right?
Uh-huh. So it was a big stadium. And in those days, it wasn't unusual. Boxing was so big that not just in Pittsburgh, as you mentioned, but all over the country.
All over.
And they would stage these fights in the Polo Grounds and Yankee Stadium, Forbes Field. And
all outdoor ballparks, Madison Square Garden, Chicago Stadium. And the revenue all came from the gate sales, the tickets. There wasn't any pay-per-view those days. And it was really the biggest sport in the country, along with college football and baseball. They were the three main sports.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is Tim Conn. He is the son of the legendary boxer Billy Conn, known as the Pittsburgh Kid, the former light heavyweight champion of the world, who famously fought Joe Louis in 1941. This year marks the 75th anniversary of that iconic event, something that is part of Pittsburgh lore and that as a kid, and I can certainly attest to this, you hear about growing up the same way you hear about other famous sports events and historic events in Pittsburgh. Now, meanwhile, there's the backstory, the personal story of your mother, Mary, who was 18. She and your father were in love, and she wanted to be where your dad was. They weren't married yet, but she wanted to be with him in New York as he was fighting this fight. So she ends up lying to your father, your grandfather, her father, Greenfield Jimmy Smith, and ends up not going to Atlantic City, as she had told him, but goes to the Waldorf Hotel in New York and is there. She doesn't go to the fight, but she's at the hotel waiting for him to come back and trying to listen. Pick up the story from there.
Well, her father was completely against the marriage.
Why was that?
As Frank DeFord said in his article, he didn't want him to marry somebody like himself. He said, I know how these fighters end up, but mainly she was too young. She was only 18 years old, and he didn't want any part of her marrying my father. And he was the next big league ball player. And it seems like she did lie to him, and she said, I'm going to meet my aunt, Helen, in Atlantic City. That was a lie. It was all set up. They're going to be in the Waldorf Astoria in New York. She went directly from, I think, Ocean City, New Jersey, to the Waldorf in New York and had the room in the Waldorf, and the aunt was ready to meet her there. And the father knew nothing about this. So she's in the room during the whole broadcast of the fight and actually did not listen to the fight. She was too afraid.
She just stayed
in the bathroom. But her aunt listened to the whole on the fight in the radio, and my mother was just too nervous to actually listen to it. She came out once in a while and said, how's he doing? And she said, he's doing great. He's doing great. Don't worry. Everything looks good. And then she went back into the bathroom and till the end.
And meanwhile, in Pittsburgh, at at Forbes Field, there was a Pirates game that night. The Pirates were playing the Giants, who were on the road because the fight was happening in their ballpark. And explain what happened at Forbes Field. They stopped the game.
Well, they had, I think, 28,000 people watching the Pirates play the Giants at Forbes Field. They didn't want to deprive the fans of not being able to listen to the fight. They ordered both teams to go into the dugout, turn the lights out, and broadcast the fight over the PA system from the seventh round on. This would never happen today. It's the only time in the history of Major League Baseball that play was stopped to listen to another sporting event.
And, incredible.
That proves how big it was.
And it was big. Time. And your father was winning the fight. He was outsmarting Joe Louis. He was quicker than Louis, who was the bigger man, the more powerful puncher. But Billy Kahn was finding his way inside, scoring points, and ahead on the judges' cards, right?
He was ahead on all three judges' cards. From the seventh round on, he had won every round. He was actually beating Louis at his own game in the 10th, 11th, and 12th rounds. He was actually outslugging Louis, which was really not something that they thought, because he was not a knockout puncher. And the 12th round, he did hurt Louis. Louis almost went down from a left hook, and he hurt him. He went back to the corner, and his manager, Johnny Ray, said, "Okay, you haven't won. Keep boxing him. You're too fast for him. He can't catch you." And he said, "No, he's hurt. I'm going to knock him out this round."
Let's hold it there, and let's listen now to the Don Dunphy play-by-play or blow-by-blow account of what happened in the unlucky 13th. Right?
Right. Right.
The unlucky 13th for Billy Kahn, as he did go for that knockout against Joe Louis.
Oh, great left hand, and Louis is in trouble. The left hook did it, and Louis almost down. He's on rubbery legs. The crowd urging Billy Kahn on. It was the left hand which did it, and Joe Louis is holding on in sheer desperation and trying to buy just a little bit of extra time. It's toe-to-toe war in there now. A war of attrition. And Joe Louis has set his man up. And Billy Kahn is shipping huge punches from the champion. Another right hand and a left hook. Oh, and he's gone down. All those rounds of domination to no avail.
Billy Kahn goes down and he didn't listen to his manager.
No. Well, see, that sort of let you believe it all happened in that round, but it didn't. It was... The bell rang. That was the end of the 12th round. Louis was hurt. And then, as I said before, his manager, Johnny Ray, said, "You haven't won. Do not – just keep doing what you're doing." He said, "No, he's hurt. I'm going to go out and knock him out." And he says, "Okay, you're on your own." He said, "That's the first time I never listened to my manager." And went out in the 13th. He actually won the first half of that 13th round. But he got off his bicycle, stopped moving around, and wanted to slug it out with Louis. Louis recovered. Much harder puncher, outweighed him by over 30 pounds. And he didn't just hit him with two or three punches. Father had a great chin. He must have hit him with 20 punches before he went down. He actually did get up, but wasn't quite erect and was counted out at 258 of the 13th round. There was only 2 seconds left to go, so you always might have wondered if he would have got up erect by the count of 10, what would have happened in those last two rounds? Would he have recovered
right.
or not? He was pretty well hurt.
And there was a famous quote from your dad after that fight. What did he say when the sports writers were peppering him with questions and saying, why did you go for the knockout?
Why did you do that? Well, how could you make such a terrible mistake? He said, "Well, what's the sense of being Irish if you can't be stupid?"
So immediately, of course, this was a great fight, and they immediately wanted to set up a rematch, but unfortunately something happened that prevented it. Tell that story if you would. We've got we're down to about a minute or so left, but it's worth hearing.
Well, they wanted to make out the grandfather was ready for a peace talk. Art Rooney was my godfather, and they wanted to organize a party, and they were all for it. And then it was actually at my christening, and they had a big party. Everything was going good. And then the grandfather said, "Well, if you're going to marry into this family, you're going to do what I tell you, and champion or no champion, I can beat the hell out of you any day." Well, that was all my father needed to hear. He got into a big brawl, broke his left hand on the grandfather's head. or my grandfather's head, and that was the end of the rematch. It cost them millions of dollars, and the war, World War II, started. They never fought again until 5 years later after the war. And father was laid off for all that time. He wasn't in shape he should have been, but it really might have cost them the championship, because he would have had a great chance to win just, you know, 3 months later. But that brawl with the father-in-law
ruined,
next everything.
Cost him what?
Cost him everything. Cost him millions of dollars and the title.
They did eventually have the rematch in 1946.
But that was after the war.
Right, and yeah. And it was not.
It wasn't a good fight.
No.
No.
One last question I wanted to ask you. Gene Collier, the award-winning Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sports columnist, wrote a piece with the headline, 75 years ago, Billy Kahn lost to Joe Louis, but he won. Tim, what do you think? Did he win in some ways?
In a way, the way he lost, he sort of, you could say, won. I mean, he hadn't won and he lost. People always remember that. You can say there's been other heavyweight champions, Leon Spinks, for instance, who remembers him nowadays. It was more the way he lost that he won. And he did, I think Gene Collier might have meant he won his bride too.
Well,
at the end.
It's been fascinating to talk about this. Tim Kahn is the son of the legendary Pittsburgh kid, Billy Kahn, talking about and remembering his famous fight with Joe Louis 75 years ago this year. Tim Kahn, thank you so much for coming in and sharing this delightful story with us.
Well, thank you, Paul. It's a pleasure being on your show.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. On Monday, July 4th, we will be stepping aside for the Capitol steps, and their special politics takes a holiday until Tuesday when Mayor Peduto joins us. I'm Paul Guggenheimer saying thank you and have a great holiday weekend, everyone.